Okay, Be'ezrat Hashem. We're starting a series on Hilchot preparation for Pesach and during Pesach, before Pesach and on Pesach, Be'ezrat Hashem. We're going to start with the halachot of cleaning for Pesach, getting rid of chametz. Be'ezrat Hashem, after that, we'll move on to a little bit about mechirat chametz, what a person is recommended to sell and not. What is this bichlal, the whole concept of mechirat chametz? We, Mirza Hashem, cover the kashering. And hichod abedikat chametz, we'll talk about matzah a little bit. And we'll deal with halachot of seder. And Mirza Hashem, we'll see how much time we will have left after that. Okay, so the first part is about cleaning for Pesach. Now, cleaning for Pesach, it is not spring cleaning. Okay, this is not just because spring is coming, so let's go and clean out and get out the clutter. Although some people get into that mood, and once they're cleaning for chametz, they clean all the dust and dirt and whatever was left behind in the clutter in their houses anyway. I recently saw a picture of showing, a Cinderella type poor girl scrubbing the floor. And it says on it, Pesach, as if this is how the ladies are supposed to feel as Pesach is coming. And I protested that picture. I said, this is very wrong. It's a wrong attitude to show when it comes to cleaning for Pesach. Is it difficult? It is difficult. But that a person should give themselves a feeling of a poor girl scrubbing the floor, tears in her eyes, is a wrong thing to do, because the emet is, halachically, there is not much that one needs to clean for Pesach. All you have to do is just sweep and get rid of any chametz that is around. You don't have to really scrub your floors more than you scrub for Shabbat. You don't have to scrub the walls. You don't have to do anything more than the normal, beautiful, nice cleaning job that any lady would do in her house normally anyway. Except that the Rosh says that Yisrael are kedoshim. It is their love that they're showing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem says no chametz, they go above and beyond and they make sure that there is no chametz anywhere to be found, and even the walls they try to scrub if they want, or the floors or the ceilings or whatever it is. But it is only coming from the sign of their love. When it comes to the sign of their love, a person does something lovingly, he does it with simcha, with happiness. You don't get yourself depressed and down and every night you kvetch. It's so difficult, because if you do that, then chas v'shalom, it would have a wrong effect on the children, and the children are going to end up not wanting to keep Pesach, or they want to run away to the hotels and get into other problems with doing that. But so, it's important that a person should keep the focus of simcha during the time. Having said that, so we are going to Mishnah discuss the things that should be done and things that don't have to be done. Now, if somebody wants to do it and they have the time to do it and energy to do it and the simcha to do it, kol hakavod. So as I mentioned before, cleaning is the tzorech chametz. The purpose of cleaning is to get rid of all the chametz that is anywhere that could be found before the time of bedikat chametz comes by. The purpose of cleaning is solely for bedikat chametz, meaning, since the husband is obligated, everybody's obligated, but since the husband usually is the one who does the bedikat chametz the night of 14th, and for him to go and check out all the chametz and get rid of all the pretzels and the macaronis and stuff that fell in every corner, it's going to be very difficult. So to make job easier, the family, primarily the wife, will clean out the house in advance. This way will make the job of the husband much easier when it comes to night of bedikat chametz. When he goes around, he rarely, if anything, he rarely will find anything. Even though he's trying hard and he's looking and looking and looking, in that situation, he will not find really much. So the point of cleaning is to make the job of bedikat chametz easier, so there will not be any chametz around. Having said that, any chametz that has fallen, has rolled over under the cabinet, under the stove, under the refrigerators, under, behind the bookshelves, any chametz that has fallen over there does not have the requirement of being, of destroying, getting rid of. And therefore, The cleaning doesn't have to be done. In other words, a lady does not have to pull out her stove from its place, or even to pull out her refrigerator from its place to clean under it, because any chametz that happened to be under it is a chametz that does not require you to get rid of. Now, people do that, especially the refrigerators, because it's easier to pull out. But if a person feels that, you know, I can't do it, I don't have time to do it, or all I do is just stick the tube of my vacuum cleaner under it to clean out whatever the vacuum cleaner could reach, and the rest I leave there, it's not a problem. This is only if he or she is not planning to move that stove or that refrigerator out in Pesach. If for some reason she might think that she's going to move that refrigerator during Pesach, and all the chametz that's under it, all of a sudden it will show up, so then she should pull it out and clean under it. But if the refrigerator, for all practical purposes, is supposed to stay there, and the stove is staying there, the cabinets, bookshelves are there, except some stuff rolled behind it, under it, out of reach, then there is no reason that a person, I can't say there's no reason, halachically, there's no reason for a person to move the stove, cabinet, refrigerator to clean under it. People do that. If that's what they like to do, and they do it b'simcha, that's fine. They're allowed to do that, no problem. But it doesn't have to be done. As I mentioned before, the purpose of cleaning is to make the job of bedikah easier. So there's a halacha that if I put something down, if I'm storing some boxes in my closet or in my storage room or in my shed outside, if there are some boxes that I'm depositing, some new boxes of soda that got delivered or water bottles that got delivered, and I'm depositing them in a storage room over there, halacha is that from Purim and on, if such a delivery comes, one cannot put it down unless you do bedikah under it. So if you get a delivery of some sort that you're going to put in your storage room, or you're going to put it in your shed, and that big delivery is going to stay there, remain there during Pesach, obviously, even though it's after if it's after Purim that was delivered, you're not allowed to put it down unless you do bedikah under it. Now, what happens if you did not do bedikah under it, and you put down those that load that came, that delivery that came, then either bedikah chametz, whoever is doing the bedikah has to remove all those boxes and do bedikah under them. So even though I said that if you have a chametz that rolls under your cabinet, your fridge, your stove, you don't have to take care of it because it just happened on its own. But if you are the one who's putting something over an area that could have chametz there, that's possibly the chametz could have fallen there, before you put it down, after Purim and on, that's where we are now, before you put it down, you have to do bedikah under it. Otherwise, you're obligated to remove it the night of bedikah chametz and do bedikah under it. This would mean like this, that if a lady is going around and cleaning up her closet, and she pulls out all the boxes and stuff that are on the floor in the closet, she pulls them out, and she cleans out the closet, and then she put the boxes back in. Since now she is depositing those boxes in that closet, right then and there, there's an obligation of doing bedikas chametz under the boxes. Therefore now, if she doesn't do bedikas chametz now, when the husband comes, the night of bedikas chametz, he's gonna have to pull out all those boxes and do bedikah under them. Let's say she moves the beds in her room, or the husband moves the beds, whoever moves the beds in the room to clean under it for Pesach, because maybe some chametz rolled under it, right? If the beds are stationary, I should say that parenthetically, if the beds are stationary, they are there and they will be there, and there is no reason to move them now or during Pesach, you do not need to clean under it or do bedikah under it, because any chametz that's out of reach is like the chametz that is rolled under the cabinet or under a stove or under something. You don't have to do that. But people do move the beds. They clean under the bed. Fine. Very nice and good. If he or she moves the bed
and vacuums under the bed. Now he puts the beds back.
Now that he's putting the beds back, before he puts the beds back, Shulchan Aruch says that he is obligated to do bedikat chametz before he puts back the beds. If he doesn't do bedikat chametz before putting back the beds, then either bedikat chametz, he's going to either have to crawl under those beds with a flashlight, I guess, or move the beds again and do bedikah under them. So therefore, it's a very good idea that as the ladies go around cleaning up their rooms, their storage rooms, their closets, their cabinets, their beds, and move things around, before they put the stuff back to make the place nice and neat, they should do bedikah under it. This way the husband will not have to do it the night of 14th. How would a lady or a man, for that matter, anyone, do a bedikah 2 weeks before Pesach? Two rules. Rule number one is, if the area is an area that doesn't usually get daylight directly shine on it, like by the window, not sunlight, daylight. A place that by the window, even if the sun is not there and the lights are off, there is enough light coming near the window that you could see comfortably. That area could be checked during the day. Let's say, so if the lady pushes the beds in the bedroom to the sides and she vacuums under it, and there is enough light coming in from the windows and she pulls up the shades, there's enough light coming in to the middle of the bedroom, so she will do a bedikah, which is looking on the floor for the purpose of bedikah, right where the beds are supposed to be, and then she brings the beds back to where they're supposed to be, and therefore everything is nicely done and no problem, everything is good. So therefore, the area that gets a direct light could be checked during the day while she cleans up. After she cleans up, she has to specifically check. If you're talking about closets or the places that you don't usually get a direct daylight coming in, those areas should be checked with a flashlight or a candle, and therefore they have to be checked at night. So therefore, the lady who pulled out the boxes from her closet or a storage room or whatever it is, and she cleaned it, she should wait till the night, till it's dark, take a flashlight, check, like with bedikat chametz, in that area under where these boxes are supposed to go. Then she could put the boxes back after she does a bedikah at night, any night, and then this way the husband does not have to move those boxes anymore. Everything will be nice and good. Is it halacha clear? Okay? So again, any area that the daylight shines on it directly, that you could check even during the day. If it's not, it's in the corner of the room that the daylight doesn't really reach, it's hard to see, or inside the closets, or the areas that are darker, then those areas, the bedikah needs to be done with a candle or a flashlight, and therefore it should also be done at night. So therefore the lady should not put the stuff back after she cleaned it, till she does a bedikah that night, and then she or her husband could put the stuff back and everything would be nice and good. Okay, any area that chametz will be stored, the chametz that you want to sell, will be stored there, halachically you don't have to clean, because that area will be rented out, and any chametz that's in it also will be sold, and that area will be closed off from access. So you don't really have to clean it. So therefore, the cabinets that you have your chametz dishes in it don't really have to be cleaned. The cabinets that you have your chametz spices in there don't have to be cleaned. Do people clean it? Yes, there are people who clean it. There are people who do not sell chametz, or they get rid of all the chametz that they have that they don't have to sell it, right? Or whatever it is. There are people who do clean it. They have no problem as long as they are doing it happily. Kol hakavod, they could clean it, but those areas that would be closed off and would not be accessible during Pesach, and if there is any chametz in there, will be sold, they don't have to be cleaned or checked. The area that really is very, very important and most, I guess most important areas that people tend to ignore are the pockets. The pockets, especially the families who have children, kid pockets, knapsacks, toys, drawers. These are the places that usually have chametz stored in them intentionally. And many times after Pesach, people find stuff in there. That is the area that really needs attention, that one needs to really pay attention to find, to make sure that, that you clean them. There was somebody told me a story, Pelletic story. He said there was a fellow that, a Jewish fellow that was approached by a man, an old man. The old man told him that he's looking for a Haggadah. Does he have an extra Haggadah to spare with him? This is like 2 days before Pesach. And Erev Pesach, and the guy says, you know, as a matter of fact, I made an ofruf, a wedding, a couple of weeks ago, and we gave out Haggadahs. So maybe I have some Haggadahs at home that I gave out to people for, you know, honor of my child's wedding. So I would like to, you know, I'll give it to you. So they make up the time the next day to meet somewhere, and he'll give him the Haggadahs. And the guy didn't know this old man from before. And this guy goes and starts looking for the Haggadahs, where they store it, and they came after the wedding, they put it somewhere, they look under, and finally they find the box. He goes to the box, he opens up the box, take out some Haggadahs, and he sees some chametz from the wedding, I don't know, whatever, cookies or the goodies or maybe ufruf bags or whatever it was, that was chametz, was in that box. And even though they had cleaned and they did bedikat chametz, this was Erev Pesach already, cleaned and they did bedikat chametz and all that, right, this thing was missed. And I got so excited here, I ended up wanting to do a chesed to this guy, and they ended up finding the chametz, Baruch Hashem. So he takes the Haggadah, very excited, the next day to go and give to the guy and tell him what a favor this guy did to him. The guy doesn't show up. And he waits and he waits and he waits. He doesn't show up. Right? So, if you tell somebody who's a bit of a Kabbalah and stuff, they're going to tell you, well, it was a Leo HaNavi probably. He showed up to Matzil. But, you know, you never know these things. But it is, the moral lesson is, that the areas that people tend to forget are these areas that usually have most of the time chametz stored in them. Coat pockets, you know, raincoat pockets, winter coat pockets. By Pesach, usually people put away their winter coats, you know, and they forget about it. Like snow coats, snow pants. You never know, the child put on his snow pants to go outside, play, and he stuffed the cookie in the pocket to eat it, and he forgot and he left it there. These are the areas that really need to be cleaned. These are tedious, but they are one of the most important areas that a person needs to clean when it comes Pesach. Now, as I mentioned before, the walls do not to be scrubbed. There are people who scrub them. And the ceilings don't have to be scrubbed, and the people who clean them. And the floor doesn't have to be scrubbed, for sure. Even though people wash them, they don't have to do anything more than what they would do for regular Shabbat. The corners need to be vacuumed. The corners many times have chametz in them. So when a person goes around the house and vacuums, many times, you know, the vacuum cleaner does not touch every corner. And those corners, you know, don't usually have much in them, anything, and people ignore. The corners are more important because every place else has been vacuumed many times over. Corners are the areas that chametz gets caught. So it's important to have the vacuum cleaner's hose going around the corner. When it comes to cleaning the car, it's the same situation. That any area that is accessible and a person might come to eat the chametz that's there, right? The children, as they're sitting there, they are... you know, they might find a piece of pretzel and they'll put it in their mouth. They might find a piece of Cheerios and put it in their mouth. That's why the cars need to be cleaned. So not only a person will not be over the issur of having chametz, a person should not, chas v'shalom, come, or his children would come being over the issur of eating chametz. So that is the purpose of cleaning the car. So the cleaning the car is the areas that are really accessible. If a person does not pull, you know, a minivan, that a person does not really pull out his seats from the car. Well, the last time they pulled out their seat was who knows when. And they're not planning to take out the seats anyway. Right? There's no reason halachically to pull out the seats to vacuum under them. Or in the corner, in the crack where the seats click in. But people do that. The purpose of cleaning cars is A, that a person should not have any big hummus in there, and B, that the children, as they're sitting there, they should not find something and by mistake put it in their mouth and being over the isur of hummus. So seats are the most important part. And the floor needs to be shaken off and maybe a little bit vacuumed. And the more important part are the slots on the sides of the car where people keep their snack in there and their cup holders and stuff. That is the main area where hummus could be stored and left there, pretzels and stuff, and people don't realize that. That is where the areas are. The toys could be just packed up and put away. If there is a toy that the parents feel that they want the child to play with, they need to wash it to make sure that there's no hummus stuck on it, because usually kids play around with their toys while they have their hummus in their hands. Otherwise, it's better to put away the toys with the Pesach dishes, I'm sorry, the weekday dishes, and close them up, and you have some Pesach toys. This way, it will be no problem with those things. This is generally the area that's regarding cleaning the house. There is more halachot regarding cleaning the kitchen and kashering it. We'll cover all of that as part of one shiur, but this shiur is basically primarily about cleaning. Again, something to keep in mind, especially for the ladies, is that even though you're busy cleaning up the house and there's a lot to do, the kids need to have their attention. So when the kids come home from school, they don't have to suffer from having no supper. Or having some kind of an undesired supper. You know, parents could make it fun, make it exciting. You know, as it is, the mother is very busy and tense and may not be able to give them as much attention, but at least let them have some fun supper. You know, could buy them pizza or something and treat them to something exciting. It would keep them happy and out of your way. This way you'll be able to do your cleaning more calmly and hopefully more happily. And this way everybody will have a good pre-Pesach experience. Okay, any questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what if you can see the comic on the side of the fridge, you still don't need to clean it?
If you have no access to it, you have no reason to clean it, right? If it's out of your reach.
It's on the side, like there's an inch space where you see like stuff there.
No, on the corner over there.
Right.
Yeah, no problem. Right.
And if under the bed, like...
If it's out of your reach, I mentioned.
Right, if it's out of your reach, you're not going to come unless...
Right.
And then under the bed, so you don't need to... Like, let's say you have like the frame. You could technically take everything out from under the bed and clean under. You don't need to move the whole bed, but you need to move everything from under the bed and clean it if you're not going to do that, take out the stuff under.
Anything, if the beds are supposed to be stationary and stuff under it are supposed to be there and they've been there from last Pesach when you clean,
right,
you don't have to move it. You tell that to ladies and they're not going to listen to you because they want to move in and they want to clean under it. By all means, no problem.
You don't have to move anything here though because it's like a good foot gap. You can
right,
reach underneath it.
No, we need to take out everything from underneath it.
I mean,
bed.
If you want to, you know, the area that you could vacuum, you vacuum, but you don't have to go under it.
You don't have to take out anything from underneath the bed if you're not going to take it out during Pesach.
Right.
And also, let's say you have a shed and there is like random stuff in there and like, do you need to clean inside if you're not going to go there Pesach? I'm saying you have like all your junk in there.
If you want to close it off, like all the hummus stuff that you close off and just sell, if there's any hummus in there, just sell it. You can do that. There are those who are machmir and not selling chametz gomor, so therefore they want to get rid of any chametz that they have in there. That's why they have to. But the truth is, for that you don't even have to clean. You just come there and check around. Not even as a bedika, just check around, make sure there's no big pieces of chametz gomor there. If there is anything, just a couple of Cheerios that fell here and there that you don't care about, they're batel. You know, when you are mevatel chametz and you say kol chamira, you really get rid of them. And then they just close off the place. Yeah. That's right, no problem.
What's considered chametz?
Chametz is anytime you have a flour of any of the five grains that have come in contact with water. There's a suffix chametz. Or badai chametz. It could be have become chametz.
It's of having chametz. It's not considered butthole. Cheerios is not a problem because I don't release that as tummy. It's what's considered something which is enough. It's a kazai.
A kazai is a size that a person might not be mevatel unless he's intentionally being mevatel.
So a bag of Cheerios, which together is mistarf to kazai.
That's correct. That's correct. The bag halacha is that the bag would add up to the would mevatarif all of it to a kazai. So if you have a whole bunch of Cheerios in one bowl, that bowl is mitzaref all the Cheerios, even though each one is less than kazayit, but they all considered one.
So if they're on the floor scattered, then it's not.
So they're butter. The Shulchan Aruch says that there's a chance that someone might come and sweep them and bring them together, and then they pile up and become one kazayit. So then it will be a problem by the Bali Matze. So therefore, those are clean. But again, that's what I said. If you have something that's out of the reach, there's a little broken piece of cookie fell by between your cabinet and the refrigerator in the back. If you look deeply, you could see it right there, right? It's not edible. It's less than kazai. There's nothing that you want to deal with it. It's out of your reach.
So you have to worry about it. What if that box is underneath with a bunch of haggadahs in there? No one's going in there and it's under.
No. There's not. It's not under anything. It's a box that a person moves around. It's a chametz. He put it there. He put it there himself.
What if there are a bunch of boxes piled up and this is like in between under? Bunch of boxes piled on top of each other, which a person's not going through the boxes during Pesach.
And this has happened from 30 days before Pesach?
Yeah.
No problem. You don't have to, if you don't, you don't have to worry about it.
So if anything that you, if you have a shed, even if there's comments in there, but you don't go in this, if you have all your junk in there, you never go in there. You just like pile up your junk in the shed.
That's what has been, and you're not planning to clean it.
You're not really planning to clean it.
You don't have to worry about it. Okay. But from before Purim, you have nothing to worry about.
So if you know it's there though, and here is chametz, you relate to as chametz, you still don't have to do anything about it.
You don't have to do anything. If it's already a pile, big pile under it from before Purim, you don't have to do anything about it.
But you have to sell that?
Because you could sell that if you want. You mevatel it. You're going to be mevatel it benimo. That's enough.
Is that really considered a bittul?
That's considered a bittul. It's a chametz from another mapolet. That's the whole sugya over here.
But after Pesach, you would want that.
After Pesach, you don't want anything. Right now, he doesn't even know what he has there. He doesn't know if it's
there. In a couple years from now, you find the cookie over there. Are you allowed to eat it?
If you find the cookies there a couple of years from now and it's edible, you're allowed to eat it, yes. Ishtabura says you're allowed to eat it.
But if he knows.
Even if he knows.
So if he knows I have a geschmack bottle of whiskey. It's on the bottom of all the boxes. I'm not going through my shed. It's been there for years and I just leave it there. I don't have to do anything with it and just let it stay there.
You could sell it if you want.
I don't want to.
If the guy wants to come and dig it up, you could dig it up.
I don't want to sell it. I just want to leave it there. Is that a problem?
If there's a whole pile of something there that's been there from way back and you're not going to use it, I'm sorry, you're not going to remove it, that chametz is not accessible to you.
It's not accessible, though. You're bitter.
That is what...
You think after the hour, is that bitter?
Yeah, this is... Shulchan Aruch says like this. There are two halachas in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? One halacha is regarding doing bedika, and another halacha is regarding there's kotel shenishtamish bo chametz. You have a kotel that has chametz in it. It means you had a wall that had shelves on it, and you had chametz on the shelves, right? And this wall fell down. So the Shulchan Aruch has a couple of details, but then he says, "Aval biyadua shiyesh tachtav chametz." If you know that when this wall fell, there definitely chametz in the shelves that fell down. The wall fell on them. Biyadush shiyesh tachtav chametz. Im yesh alav go agimel tefachim. If what's on it, the pile that's on it, is at least 3 tefachim. Mevatel bedibo vedayo. All he has to do is mevatel in his heart. That's enough. So here he had this box of things and things fell on it. Now, if he puts that on it himself, in other words, if he wanted to come to that shed and deposit all his junks on that box of whiskey, right, himself intentionally. So if it is done from before Pesach, if it's done after Purim, so he's obligated to remove the chametz and put it in. But if it's done from before Purim, and he wasn't, he had no intention, he wasn't thinking about Pesach, he just dumped everything there, that is as good as the wall that fell on it by itself. So either he put it on himself
before Purim,
or the wall fell even after Purim. As long as the pile that's on the chametz 3 tefachim high, and you're not intending in any way to remove the pile during Pesach, mevatelu b'libo v'dayo. And Mishnah Berurah says, "Ve'im la'achar haPesach, if after Pesach nitpakach hagal, you removed all the junks from the shed, benitgaleh chametz, and the chametz appeared again." Harehu mutar af ba'achila is mutar to even eat it. Shechametz shalav Pesach and oasur la mishum kenas, over here there was no kenas because he was not over bali yerei bali matzah. Because since he did whatever he had to do, he had no other obligations. He's not over bali yerei bali matzah.
Even if that piece of chametz is cost $1 million, he would still be bewatered.
Yeah, because he was not over bali yerei bali matzah on it. Mishmur says that bitul is the Rabbanan. It's not even the Oraita, he says. That bitul is the Rabbanan because maybe he would remove the gal during Pesach. Means right now, the way the chametz is, that chametz is lost to you. It's considered lost to you. You're not over by Rebbe Limotzah on that chametz. Right? So, he says there are those who say you are, but those who say you're not. But at the end, he comes out, the man says, it doesn't matter how much chametz it is. The master, you did whatever you're supposed to do. The qenas of chametz shavar lo Pesach does not apply to you because you did what you were required to do.
Once this piece equals $1 million, his bitul is not 100%.
Okay, so he will sell it. I mean, if it's $1 million, he wouldn't leave it under a gallon. Doesn't care what it is. Okay, obviously, you know.
That's a hiding spot.
Huh? No, if it's a hiding spot, so you did it intentionally. If you need it intentionally, so that doesn't care. You should have removed it before Pesach.
Why is that in the Mapolis if I did it intentionally? His case of the shed is intentional also, no?
Okay, so he did it before Pesach.
Yeah.
30 days before Pesach. Not for the kavana of keeping that bottle of whiskey on Pesach. Two months before Pesach, his intention is not, Gevaldik, I'm going to cover this box of whiskey like this. If it comes Pesach, I have nothing, you know, I have no problem.
And if it was, it wouldn't work?
Then there's a problem.
Why?
Because the whole point of Purim, and before Purim, after Purim, is because after Purim, he thinks about Pesach. Before Purim, he doesn't think about Pesach. Here, he's doing it intentionally for Pesach. I mean, you know, we're not fooling anybody over here.
And then, so this is the case of Mishnah Berurah is 3 tefachim high. So, how does that relate to us? Our relation to us is anything which we don't move?
No, 3 tefachim high.
And then it pops to the top of it.
It goes 3 tefachim high.
No, I know. So, Rebbe was saying, for example, the case of, you know, the stove or stuff like that. So something which is not 3 tefachim high, but it's hard to move, there I'm supposed to move it?
If you can move it, you're supposed to move it. It depends if it's a Vaday Chametz under it, not a Vaday Chametz under it, if it fell before, you know, if it came before Purim, it came after Purim, it came, you know, so what happened? The reason of Gimel Tefachim is Kedei Chafishat Kelev, is because if we're afraid that an animal would be able to dig it up. Now, it's in your house, no animal would show up, I know, but once there's that Gezerah, the animal could dig it up, Chachamim made a Lopilub, then if the animal could get to it, which is through 3 Tefachim, then Chachamim obligated you to go and remove it and get rid of the chametz.
So a couch you don't need to remove either. A couch,
huh? That's right. Couches you don't have to remove. Right, that those bookshelves that are there you don't have to remove. Couches you don't have to remove. Anything that's been sitting there from before, you know, well, they definitely have been sitting there. And the chametz rolled under it on its own. You don't have to move unless you know that you might end up moving that couch. If you have no plans of moving that couch, if it's not a sofa bed that you might open up and sleep on it, it's a couch that's been sitting there, it will probably be sitting there the whole time, you don't have to remove it to do cleaning under it. Right?
If you get the couch.
Huh?
If you have kids,
okay, so then, listen. Okay, fine. If you're going to end up moving the couch, so then you're going to have to clean under it, whatever it is. I mean, I'm not telling you should move the couch or not during Pesach. It's a judgment call. If the couch is supposed to be there stationary, if the bookshelves are going to be here, they've been here, and they're going to be here, so then you don't have to do anything about it. Right? But if there's something that you might end up moving, you project that it could be moved during Pesach, so you don't want that to get moved during Pesach and find chametz. Therefore, you need to move it now and clean it.
This 3 tefachim is the height which things go underneath it. So how come with his example, where you have a fridge and you have like a few inches of spaces between the fridge and the wall,
right?
And
that was a different logic for that. The logic for that is because the reason that a person needs to do bedikat chametz, I'm sorry, oh right, bedikat chametz, or for that matter, cleaning up, is for two reasons. A, he should not be over Bali Rai Bali Matze. And B, he might not come to eat it. So if you have a less than a Kezayat Chametz that has fallen, you know, in the crack, so that less than Kezayat of Chametz, you're not going to be over Bali Rai Bali Matze on it, because less than Kezayat, you'll be battle it. And it's most probably dirty and ichy, and nobody's going to eat it. It's anyway out of your reach and not accessible anyway. So in that situation, you're not obligated to get rid of it.
So, but if it was a kazayis of chametz that fell in that corner, so then you'd be mechuyev.
If you have no access to it, then you don't have to worry about it.
Why don't you buy it over there?
Huh? Why because you have no access to it.
If you move the stove, you can move.
No. If you're saying logic was just less than a kazayis.
If you have no access, if it's mamish out of your reach, so what? You see it. You have no access to it.
And then, the bittle over there is a good bittle, or more than
good. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And when you have the cabinets that normally you use, and you have used it after Purim, and now you designate these cabinets for chametz and pesach. I mean, you say all of like chametz that I sell, I put in all of these cabinets.
Right.
Before you put the chametz, you have to do bidikat chametz on.
No. That's what I said. Any area that's going to be the area that's going to be sold with you're going to put the chametz that's going to be sold there, you don't have to clean and you don't have to do bidikat chametz there.
Well, when you sell it, you're renting out the cabinets?
Right. You rent out the cabinets and you sell any chametz that's in the cabinets. So any little chametz that might be in the cabinets will be included in the sale of all the other chametz that I have in the cabinets.
And the people in yeshiva.
Mishnah Berurah brings a machloket later on between the Chatam Sofer and whatever, but that is how it comes out of Gula.
People that live in the dorms, let's say they happen to be in Baltimore the night of Pesach, they have to come back and do another bidika. When they left before Ben Azmanim, they did Bidikat Chametz, and now that they happen to be in Baltimore, they have to do another Bidika that night again?
No, not Mechuyev. Once they did Bidikat Chametz the night before, it's fine. It's a good idea to come this way, they will be able to do it with Bracha if they want. But we don't require them to.
So if they know they would be in Baltimore that night, they shouldn't do Bidika before Ben Azmanim, they should be Dafka come.
I wouldn't say that. Once they go, they go. You don't have to ask them to come back. Once they do bidika, you know, at night, there should be a bidika at night. You know, if the person stays here, he's staying in the dorm anyway, you know, so if you stay in the dorm and you're going Erev Pesach, so do bidika chametz here at night. But if they're in town, I never heard that you require them to come back and do bidika and then go back.
That was during the day, so if there's enough daylight in the place, so I can just do the bidika during the day. So if the person's whole house is, you can see with daylight. So a person doesn't really have to do any bidika in the night, has relatively dark.
No, he should. Because there the halacha is that, there the halacha is that lechatechila a person has to do bidika lel yudalit. That's the kuli alma. Okay? The reason I said over here is because since you're putting the bed back and it's considered, Shulchan Aruch says that, Shulchan Aruch says that a person, Simon Tav Lamed Vav, Shulchan Aruch says that V'chen ha'oseh beto otzar, a person who wants to make his house to a storage area, Toch Lamed Yom, 30 days before Pesach, during the 30 days before Pesach, Zakuk livdok. He's obligated to do bedika. Ve'achar kach kones otzaro letochu. Then he will bring his otzar and he will put it down. Meaning chachamim lechatechila required people to do bedika at chametz the night of 14th, but they also allowed an exception, and they said that a person who wants to make an otzar, he should do bedika. We're giving him a chiyuv bedika. When he wants to make the otzar, when he wants to pile up his load, wherever he wants to pile it. So in the situation of the bed that I mentioned, since she wants to put the bed back here, that is making an otzar, we don't require her and say, well, you know what, go do bidika night of Arba Asar. We give her the chiyuv bidika right now. Since she has a chiyuv bidika right now, She could do bedikah right now as long as she had the right lighting. By the window, she would have the right lighting. In the closet, the right lighting would be a candle or flashlight, and that has to be done at night, that same night. However, everybody else who's doing a regular bedikah, that regular bedikah cannot be done earlier than chafdalet, than yudalet. So it has to be the night of yudalet. Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if a person forgot to do bedikat chames an area? Let's say you forgot to do your porch, or you have an enclosed porch, right? A patio, a gazebo, and you did not do, you forgot to do bedikat the night. You did everything, you forgot to do that. So the next day that you come, day of Erev Pesach, that you come, you don't have to use a flashlight or a candle or anything. You just do it with the daylight. The Chatechila, you could do that. It's a Chatechila, but it's Bediavad. Because the Chatechila, you should have done it last night because that was the time of Bedikah. You didn't do it the time of Bedikah, so now, but you don't need a candle. When you want to put your beds back, that is the time of Bedikah. So if you have the daylight, do it in daylight. If you don't have the day, you don't have the heter of daylight because the area is more dark, you need to use a candle or flashlight, then you have to use it, you have to do it at night.
If the person cannot wait till night and needs to do it during the day but doesn't have daylight, is he allowed to like close all the windows and all the...
What can he do at night?
He has to leave or something.
Okay.
So is he allowed to close like all the shades and everything,
yes,
and they got the light or something like that?
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Let's say you dull it. Let's say a person had to run to the hospital with his wife to give birth the night of Bedikat Chametz. So no Bedikat Chametz was ever done in his house. Right, for a very good reason.
No what?
If a husband had to, right? He went to the hospital with his wife to give birth. Mm-hmm. So the Bedikat Chametz was not done for a good reason. The night of 14. He comes the next day. Right? He has to do Bedikat Chametz with the candle. So he goes through the closet with the candle or with the flashlight.
Should we close the shade?
It's a good idea. No, it's not mechuyav to do that, but it's a good idea to close it.
Doesn't have to turn on the light, the electric light, no?
Okay, well, when we talk about Hichot Bedikat Chametz, we'll talk about that part. We'll talk about Bedikat Chametz. That's in the area of Bedikat Chametz, we'll talk about that.
The reason is not to clean the wall, if you need a wall to clean, because let's say your kid's stuff comes to the wall, you have like leftover like dough on the wall or something.
Are you going to eat that dough? Okay, so what do you care? Nobody goes around the walls and lick him, you know, they don't do that. And that, the Rosh says, Israel Kedoshim, because, you know, they do it anyway, you know.
He gets thrown to your food.
Huh? We're not choshesh. When was the last time that the piece of dough that was stuck on the wall? Huh?
On the kitchen counters, and then next to the counters, the wall.
The counters, we're going to talk, when you have to kosher those counters anyway, you're going to have to clean it. But the rest, you know, the wall over here, you don't have to scrub it inside of the, you know, because, what, maybe your son who's walking around with his matzah, he'll like to play the, you know, in the something on the wall, and the matzah scratches, poof, and the chametz will fall on the matzah, and he'll eat it. You don't have, I mean, obviously, if they're cleaning it, they're cleaning it for this purpose, for this such a far chashash. But you're not obligated to do that.
I heard that there was a story with someone that during Pesach, it became all of a sudden hot outside. Like it was cold before and then it became hot. So they turned on the AC. The AC is like one of those, like, you know, like they have in the wall and like it goes up or something like that. And then it turned on and like some cheers started going.
There you go.
There was a somebody that for when did he hide the